Hey there, web or podcast listeners. I'm Vermont Edition producer Matthew Smith, and I wanted to let you know that this podcast has been edited to make it a little bit shorter and a little bit sweeter. Thanks, and I hope you enjoy.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. Just over a year ago, we did a show with then-Commissioner of the Department of Motor Vehicles, Robert Ide, talking about the changes to the way the vehicle inspection program was being done. These were not changes to the rules about what constituted passing or failing your inspection, mind you. These were just changes to the process. Namely, it was going digital, and there would be a record of where your car had been taken and passed or failed. It was expected to cut down on the ability for car owners to shop around and find a mechanic who would pass them after failing somewhere else. Commissioner Ide got an earful in that show from people who were angry about inspections, and much of the show veered away from questions about the digitization of the process and into why we have inspections at all, and why some drivers think the whole system is flawed, unfair, and regressive. Well, the DMV is now changing not the process, but the rules around motor vehicle inspections, so it's time for another update for us. And I'm joined in VPR's Montpelier Bureau today by Scott Davidson, Chief Inspector for the Vermont Department of Motor Vehicles. It's a pleasure to have you on the show today.
Thank you for having me.
So were you surprised by the uproar over the move to an electronic system, which we should say is known as AVIP, the Automated Vehicle Inspection Program? And, you know, there was a lot of angst and anxiety about this, which sort of took me by surprise, given the fact that, as I said, none of the rules were actually being changed. It was just sort of the way it was being done. Were you surprised?
Well, I wasn't involved with the Department of Motor Vehicles at that time, but I think this was an opportunity for us. When AVIP came out, I think what it really did is it brought a lot of stuff to light. It exposed flaws in our current inspection process. It exposed some ambiguous language in the manual itself. It also really kind of brought to light that some of the items in the inspection manual weren't necessarily critical to the safe operation of a vehicle. And I think we found that some of our inspection stations weren't necessarily following the criteria that was laid out within the manual, which also is a concern of ours.
So what did you find then with all of those things? Let's take, for example, the fact that you found that some inspection stations weren't actually following what they should have been doing. That was unveiled or revealed by AVIP because suddenly it was less open to interpretation?
I think that's some of it. I think a lot of the feedback we received from the public was they failed because of the new rules. And there were no new rules. We simply switched from a paper-based process to an automated process, modernized an archaic paper-based system into a modern one. And with that, I think, we learned the process wasn't necessarily being followed. And so case in point would be when I travel around the state, if I stop and I get gas, I see a Vermont inspection sign out in front. I'll go in, introduce myself, say hello.
I'm sure they're really pleased to see you.
Well, I hope so. So when I was in one recently, I looked up and they post the inspection rates, which has been another hot topic. And I looked up at the posting that they had above the counter. And in bold-faced letters, it read, per state law, we now road test all vehicles. Well, there was no change in road test. We've always done road test. This is not something that was new. So why was it new to this inspection station? Mm. And those types of things we are now learning weren't necessarily done as prescribed in the manual.
So in the just about a year since implementation of this AVIP program, have we seen more cars fail in Vermont, fail inspection?
I don't necessarily the problem is I don't have any data to compare it to because prior to AVIP, we were doing a paper-based system, which there's paper inspections lying around stations that aren't necessarily being put together for data. We now have that data.
So just to clarify, in the past, if you failed inspection, nothing had to be sent to the state. And now with AVIP, it's in the system that you've failed somewhere, and then so that you have this sense of what's failing and what's passing.
Yeah, we actually now know the number of vehicles that pass, which ones are failing, why they're failing. So we know the top reasons for why vehicles are failing in the state, and we know how many are being repaired to pass and a lot of other very pertinent data that's very useful.
So what are the reasons that cars are failing? If you do have that data, cars and light trucks.
Absolutely. The top five reasons that vehicles fail safety inspection in the state of Vermont are the visual brake inspection, interior function lights, exhaust system, brake system integrity during the road test, and tire wear.
So given all of those things, is AVIP a good thing for the state and for the safety of our roads?
Absolutely. I think it benefits us in a lot of different ways, one of which is just being able to provide us this data. For me to sit down with a team of folks and rewrite the inspection manual and know what areas really need to be focused on primarily is very beneficial.
All right. So you are changing the rules now for the vehicle inspection process. Was this in response to frustration with AVIP?
I think so. I think it's partially to do with the frustration of AVIP. I think, again, a lot of stuff came to light with regards to ambiguous language and non-safety, non-critical related items. And, what's interesting, though, is when I got hired into this position, one of the first things I did is I got our team of inspectors together and I sat down with them when we had a meeting to identify what are the top three things that we could do better, the top three things that DMV could really improve on with regards to what we do as an enforcement and safety unit. And number one was the inspection manual. So our own folks, I think, recognized that, and that was very early on in AVIP. So I don't necessarily know it was just AVIP that brought us to this table. I think that it was something that we realized that we needed to do, and it's something that we are determined to do right.
Before we get into our many calls and emails, let's talk about some of the ways that this is changing so we have a little bit of a basis. First of all, there are going to be three categories that your vehicle could be in after inspection: pass, fail, or advisory. And advisory is still a pass, but you'd get sort of a separate note. What does advisory actually mean?
That's just it. It's an education to the operator to let them know that it's something that isn't necessarily going to fail the inspection. You'll still get your sticker. But on the other hand, it's information that might be beneficial. For example, I like to use tires.
Mm-hmm.
Something that the standard for tire tread is 2/32 in the state of Vermont. However, if you go into an inspection station, like let's say in April, and your tires are at 2/32, you pass the inspection. However, the likelihood of those tires, if you drive an average of 20, 30,000 miles a year, are going to remain at 2/32 until your next inspection, probably fairly low. An advisory is an opportunity to let the consumer know that you may want to get these repaired soon. This is not going to get you to the next inspection process. Winter's coming. You have all seasons. That type of information that I think is extremely beneficial to the consumer.
You mentioned tire treads. So you'd be getting an advisory from your mechanic saying, look, this passes now, but if you come back in a year with these same tires, you're going to have a problem. You're not going to pass. Another one might be taillights. What with taillights?
Yeah, taillights was another example. We heard from a lot of folks, I can't understand why I'm failing inspection because I have a cracked taillight. Well, the reason is that if your taillight's cracked and moisture seeps into the headlight casing, it could cause your taillights to dim or to short out. What we did is we changed that standard a little bit so that if the crack is to the extent where white light is showing through and or there's pooling of water actually occurring inside the headlight casing, that's a failure. But the crack in itself is advisory. So we would be letting the consumer know and the customer know that you have a cracked taillight. These are the risks. My recommendation is that you repair it. This is why.
If my taillight is out, I can be pulled over by the police for having a missing light. So isn't the incentive that once it dims or goes out, I'm going to want to get that fixed anyway so I'm not paying a penalty and getting pulled over?
Oh, that's absolutely correct. And that's why when we rewrote the inspection manual, we referred to Title 23, which is the state statute on motor vehicle laws. We looked at federal law in 49 CFR 570. We looked at federal motor vehicle safety standards. We looked at NHTSA's safety publications. We looked at a lot of different angles. But one of the things that we wanted to make sure of is that we didn't take so much out of the manual that lost the integrity. Case in point is tinted windows. Tinted windows were failure, were reason for failure if you had your passenger or you had the driver's side window, front windows tinted.
Because that's illegal according to state law.
It's a state law. So rather than have it be part of the inspection process, we kept it in the inspection manual, but we kept it in as an advisory. We didn't want a Vermonter to drive away after a safety inspection with tinted windows and get a ticket down the road and say, wait a minute, I just got inspected by an agent of the state of Vermont, and they said I was fine. Why am I getting a ticket now? So the advisory is to let the operator of the vehicle know or the owner of the vehicle know that you could be in violation of Title 23, whatever the section may be.
So if you have tinted windows or if you're missing a front license plate, those are violations of state law, but they will no longer require somebody who's inspecting your car to fail you.
Correct.
And is the philosophy behind that that the inspection should be more due to either requirements like emission standards or safety and less about what the actual state law is?
Correct. But when we rewrote the manual, really the overarching goal was to balance safety and affordability, but we didn't want to lose the integrity and lose too much of the safety. I mean, that's why we have the process in place. So applying a reasonableness standard and taking a look at everything, we really came up with three goals. And the first one is to remove items that were not critical to the safe operation of the vehicle. Two is to modernize, simplify, and clarify in ambiguous language. We added hyperlinks to federal law, federal motor vehicle standards, Title 23, so that the actual inspection mechanic, the general public, can not just read the section but also have the applicable law to reference and to go to. And then finally, the third thing is to educate the motoring public to the safety inspection process and the relevance of the criteria in the motor vehicle laws so that they have a better understanding so that when they go and they get an inspection and they're not just told they fail, but they're explained why. And they have an understanding when they're leaving that it's not just the new rules due to AVIP. There's a reason for why you failed. Ultimately, as we took a look at this, we also wanted to make sure that we were protecting Vermont's most vulnerable. We were making sure that we weren't having folks do repairs that weren't necessary.
You know, there's some disagreement that that's the motivation here or that you're doing that. For example, Walter writes, it's a sure way to keep the poor poorer by forcing them to keep buying cars because their vehicle does not pass inspection for petty things. While I agree with the necessity for inspections, paying to support a private company that says yes or no to our vehicles should make us all protest. And I think he's talking about the company that runs this digital program, the AVIP program. Smokey says, well, what is considered non-critical? I'm all in favor of inspecting cars to ensure they're safe, but my mother's car failed inspection last week for rust and not shiny headlights. It cost $800 to buff her headlights and patch the rust spots. Cheaper than a new car, but not easy for those with fixed incomes. The last thing we need are Vermont's elderly more homebound because of some rust, or people living paycheck to paycheck not being able to get their job. In some ways, Scott Davidson, this is a regressive program because, of course, it's more of a burden on people who have less money to fix problems with their cars than it would be for people who have more money, regardless of the program. But how do you respond to these listeners?
I hear you. We absolutely heard you. And when we sat and met and we did make the changes, I think all those areas that were mentioned were all areas that we had affected change to ensure that those items that do need to be repaired are critical to safety.
Let's go to Richard calling in from South Newfane. Hi, Richard. Go right ahead.
Hi. I agree with the email you just read. A lot of money, I think $750,000 is going out of state, and that money should stay in Vermont. Poor people do not have access, if they live in a rural area, to public transportation. They make, say, $10 an hour as a home health aide. If they can't go to work, that job's gone. That person is then on welfare, and the elderly person at home is going to have to go to a nursing home, which will cost the state $90,000 a year. And I think people in Montpelier don't realize, they all have new cars, they don't realize how important the car is to poor rural people. I've got a lot more to say, but I will shut up now.
Well, I appreciate your call and appreciate hearing what you're saying. I'm going to get another question in here from a listener, and then we can come back to Scott Davidson. Victor's calling in from Concord. Hi, Victor.
Hi. I called last year and argued with your predecessor about this because the position that you guys took that no rules had changed, it was just the enforcement changing, meant that the rules changed. And I agree with the last caller. My question is, can you pass inspection with your check engine light on right now?
Victor, thanks for the call.
With your new rule changes, if the check engine light is on, do you still can you still get a sticker or no?
Scott Davidson?
Yes, you can. The check engine light that you're referring to is the MIL light, and that refers to the admissions portion of the safety inspection. So to be clear, when you get your car inspected through the Vermont Inspection Program, there's really two components. One is the safety aspect, and the other one is emissions. And as we know, motor vehicles are the largest source of toxic and ozone-forming air pollutants in Vermont. We also know that the state of Vermont falls within an EPA ozone transport region, which makes us one of 33 states in the country that are mandated to have an emissions program. And ultimately, the goal of the emissions program is to have cleaner air in Vermont because we're all air breathers. To get to the question of the MIL light coming on, what the goal here is to have the vehicle repaired. And right now we are offering a conditional pass. So if your light is on, you're given up to a year to get the vehicle repaired and back on the road. So for your next inspection, you're ready to go.
And is that a change?
No, we offered the conditional pass last year and we extended it this year.
You know, we should clarify, actually. It was interesting because with the AVIP program, there were a few things that changed in the sense that there was sort of a year's grace period for some of the things that had been fails in the past that under this new program, which theoretically didn't change any rules, would actually sort of have this year of grace. So is that one of the things that having a check engine light on under this first year of the program would still allow you to pass and now under the new regulations is actually written into the rules?
Yeah, the conditional pass was just for the emissions portion of the inspection. We are looking to move forward onto an economic time extension, which really is focusing on three things. And one is to ensure that Vermonters are aware of what the Vermont warranty law is as it pertains to emissions in their vehicles and ensuring that they take advantage of that warranty so they're not paying for unnecessary repairs that should be covered. So that's really a big piece and a big emphasis. The second item that I think is really important with regards to emissions is to ensure that your vehicle is ready. Vehicle readiness is something that we as the Department of Motor Vehicles in the state of Vermont needs to spend more time with our inspection stations and consumers and with regard to understanding. Readiness is your onboard diagnostics for your vehicle is no different than any other type of diagnostic computer. It has to run through the system. So if your battery is disconnected, it dies, what would happen is when you go to get your car inspected and you plug in, it's going to show up vehicle not ready. And you're not going to pass the inspection because your vehicle isn't ready to be analyzed, isn't ready to be tested. So of last year, half of the cars that failed emissions just simply weren't ready. The example I use is the real-time example is my folks snowbird every year and they go to Florida. So their car is in their garage in Vermont. And they unplug the battery. And then when they come back from Florida, my father goes out to the garage. He gets in his car. He plugs the battery back up and he drives, gets his car inspected because he's been gone. He's not going to pass the emissions portions of the test until that car has had an opportunity to do a diagnostic test of the emission system that's on board. So getting that information out is really important. So for the waiver, it would involve that the warranty is checked and make sure that all warranty repairs are done. And two is to really make sure that the vehicle doesn't receive a pass unless it has truly been tested and ready, which is really a big piece.
Joining me now from Bennington is Susan Morse, shop manager at Morse Auto and Truck Repair. Hi, Susan.
Hello, how are you?
I'm well, thanks. Thanks for being on the show. So I'm curious, how did the rollout of AVIP work for you and your shop?
It was pretty flawless. We had to call the tech line a couple times because there was little tweaks with the computer itself. They would have to reboot it or whatever. But other than that, everything's gone pretty smooth with it. Once my techs were able to get down the process of the tablet, things were rolling pretty smoothly.
So rolling pretty smoothly for your techs, what about for your customers? What did you hear from them?
It's been about a year of complaints, and the main complaint was, the cost going up on the inspections. We personally, as our shop, we don't charge for a failed inspection. We check all the mechanicals on the car before we hook the computer to it. So if they have any ball joint problems or tie rod problems, we can point that out before we hook to the computer and it goes through to the state so that they can have a chance to get that stuff fixed first before we do the inspection. But other than that, there really hasn't been a lot of complaints as far as customer base.
So what do you think about the new guidelines and the ways that the rule book is changing for what would constitute a pass or fail and some of the other things that are now going to be included in the manuals?
I think it's good that they're bringing the guidelines down a little bit. But as far as, I mean, really, when they started the automated system, nothing with the inspection itself changed.
Right.
It was just the process in which we're running through now is different than just all the writing, you know, and now it's all through automotive or automated computer system. So, but as far as if you always did it by the book, it's nothing changed that way.
And so one of the questions that I was wondering about now with these new rule changes is, you know, Scott Davidson was saying a little while ago that he went into a shop and it looked like the shop thought perhaps some of the rules had changed with AVIP. So some of it is educating, shop managers and techs and car and truck owners. But that education piece, is that, I mean, do you feel like everybody who does inspections is going to know exactly what does and does not fail and what gets an advisory now?
Well, they should, because everybody gets updated manuals and updated inserts for the manual every year. It would be helpful from somebody from DMV themselves to come into our shop still. And only because the young lady that set us up with our AVIP program was from Pennsylvania. So she didn't know about the Vermont state laws. Hmm. So we really couldn't get into any questions with her about, you know, concerns or questions we have with the inspection process, because she doesn't know the Vermont state laws as far as inspections.
So you'd like to have somebody come in face-to-face to be able to answer any questions you might have about the state laws and state guidelines?
Yes, absolutely, and it would benefit my techs greatly, too, because they have questions.
Scott Davidson, is that possible? I mean, I imagine everybody's operating under a tight budget and tight staff, and there are a lot of shops. But, you know, you hear what Susan Morse is saying about that face-to-face interaction would be really helpful.
Oh, I'd love to be able to provide an inspector for 1,200 inspection stations and do the individual visits and still maintain the function of the organization. But the reality is what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to use many different modes. We're hoping to do some outreach sessions regionally based on location, put as much information on the website as possible, do bulletins, social media, press, as much information as we could get out in as many different forms. You know, we find that even when we do outreach sessions, there's folks that just can't make it. And we have to have information available to the inspection stations for those that couldn't attend. But one of the things is if you do go on our website, we have a state map, and all the inspection stations know what inspector is assigned to their specific territory. They can click right on it, and the contact information is available, and they can be a resource.
Scott, do you have any questions for Susan Morse? I mean, I imagine you said you stop in when you're driving around and say hello to people, but, you know, you don't always have the chance to talk with a shop manager.
No, a lot of the times I think you ask the question, I ask, how's AVIP going? Is it working out? Are you adapting to it? How is the inspections becoming quicker? Because a lot of time we heard a lot of concern about it takes longer now that we're on a tablet. But I'm finding that talking to a lot of the stations, they're saying now we're becoming more used to it. It's more fluent. Those types of questions, are they holding up? Is the technology working? Mm-hmm. And I usually ask for any recommendations. Do you have any recommendations that that we can make to make the process more mechanic friendly?
So, Susan, do you have any recommendations?
And I personally think that the tablet is very friendly, you know, mechanic friendly. Yes, our the first inspection we did, and it was just a small vehicle because we also do the heavy duty. We do the dump trucks and tractors and stuff. It took us about 45 minutes to an hour, but we have that down to about a half hour, about 45 minutes for the heavy duty vehicles.
Hmm. Well, Susan, I really appreciate you taking the time to talk with us a little bit about your experience and what's happening at Morse Auto and Truck Repair in Bennington. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
And again, that's Susan Morse. And if you have a question, listeners, you can call 800-639-2211. Let's go to Kevin calling in from St. Johnsbury. Hi, Kevin.
Yes, when you're talking about the AVAP, that system is pretty flawless. Never been any issue for us. We're doing inspections on vehicles. We have 30 years here. The bottom line is the safety, of course. That's the starting ball. And second of all, AVAP, I mean, the state of Vermont, to give people another year, then another year to fix all the check engine lights, what they've really done is they've caused these people other aggravations, because when you run around with your check engine light on, for one thing, you don't get the fuel mileage. Second of all, that causes other problems. So then when they do come in here and they need to get vehicles fixed, we don't have just one thing wrong anymore. We have multiple things, because now we've burned up converter because we've dumped fuel into them. It burns them up. That's hundreds of dollars, thousands of dollars in some cases. You talk about tire monitors. It's a good thing. People get better wear and tear out of their tires. They get better fuel mileage. The Vermont State Inspection has never changed anything what it's doing right now, except for people being accountable. They're not being able to fill out the paperwork the way they chose to in the past. We've always had inspection stations that don't care what they put stickers on for many, many years. People go from inspection station to inspection station to get this done. And for the state of Vermont to come back and say, well, we're going to make some adjustments. Really? Are you kidding me? There's no adjustments to be made except for, do you want us to do it right or wrong? Now, you talk about cars from the south. Those cars are nothing like a Vermont car. Are you kidding me? Those cars, they don't have the roads we had, the conditions, the weather. They don't get beat up like Vermont cars.
Hmm. You know, so, Kevin, from your perspective, Kevin, it sounds like you do these inspections, and in some ways the updated guidelines and the AVIP program is meaning that more honest mechanics are protected, and the ones who weren't doing quite what they should be maybe are the ones who've been having some troubles, in your estimation?
Exactly. And if you take like a check engine light, some of these cars, you have to let them sit overnight and cool down and do a restart.
Right.
To make sure you actually have the issue fixed.
Well, Kevin, I really appreciate you sharing your perspective as someone who has been doing inspections for 30 years. I don't know if you are, but it sounds like you're in an empty garage right now, maybe making the call. Thanks a lot, Kevin. I appreciate it. Let's go to Steve in Enosburg. Hi, Steve. Go right ahead.
Yeah, hi. My comment is I feel that the price for getting an inspection varies from station to station. Now, liquor prices are regulated in the state of Vermont where they're the same no matter where you go. Should the price of the inspection be regulated as well, or one station can't overcharge and standardize the price for the inspection like
yes.
They do in other states?
Well, Steve, thanks for the call. And what about that, Scott Davidson? I mean, the cost did go up with AVIP because there was a new cost associated with using the tablet. But what about Steve's question about standardizing cost?
Yeah, we chose not to go in that direction in telling business what to charge or what they can charge to do a safety inspection. You know, one of the things that we advise is shop around. You know, take a look at the different prices. I'm going to get My car worked on Friday, and I know my inspection mechanic didn't raise his rates as a result of AVIP or any of the costs associated. I recently got a flyer in the mail for a free inspection. I was actually there as well. I know that some service stations offer free inspection if you buy their car there. So it varies from as low as free to, I've heard, as high as $120. Hmm. So it really depends on what you want to pay for an inspection and where you want to have your inspection done.
Let's go to Todd in Rutland. Hi, Todd. You're on the air.
Hi. I spoke with your predecessor last year about this, and that the point was made from the lady down in Morrisville. Your information you're getting from AVID is not correct, because just like the paper, when we did it on paper, we're not sending in the failed cars, because we're checking the cars out first, and if they fail, we're discussing it with the customer how to repair their car and get it set up properly before we plug in the machine. So all this data you're getting from AVID is flawed data. The other thing I'd like to point out is we have no problem with the safety side of inspections. We never have. But this emission light, you guys still have yet to figure out how a car is going to come in with an emission light on, get repaired, and get inspected that same day. And if they have a failed sticker, they're not going to be able to drive the car.
Hmm. Todd, thanks for the question. Scott Davidson?
Which one do we want to start with first, the emissions one?
Which one will be quicker?
Okay, most likely the emissions one. You are absolutely correct. It might not be able to happen the same day because the light would have to clear. You're assuming that the technician made a correct diagnosis and a correct repair, and you're assuming that that issue was cleaned up. So it may take a drive cycle to be able to clear the MIL light to indicate whether or not that repair that was done was correct.
That person could still drive the car, assuming that they were not past the date of inspection, right?
As long as they don't show up on the day that their car expired, we would certainly recommend that you don't do that and that you plan ahead and have your inspection done prior to the day before.
And are you concerned that you're not actually getting accurate data about what's passing and what's failing, given that a lot of places won't put it into the system if it fails so that they can, you know, give people a little bit of a break?
Yeah, we have actually put that into the new manual. We were learning that some stations were actually charging for a safety inspection but not using the tablet and failing folks. And that should not be occurring. The tablet should be used for every safety inspection in the state of Vermont so that we do get accurate information.
So will there be a penalty for shops that don't do that?
There could be.
But that's not written in yet.
It is proposed in rulemaking.
Okay, so if this all goes through, then there would be – what would the penalty be?
I could look that up.
Look it up and send us an email, and we will post it on our page at vpr.net just to make sure that you're not trying to search for something here that you don't have handy. But we'll figure that out. And again, it's not hasn't been approved yet, so we'll see what happens. Scott Davidson is Chief Inspector for the Vermont Department of Motor Vehicles. Thanks very much for talking with us today. I really appreciate your time.
Thank you for having me.